am passionate about freedom because it is so important in my own personal life. I don't ever think you get to a point to where you say, okay, all my chains are gone, all my baggage is done, God, now I'm free. I'm just honest with you. I think that it is a journey that we will continue on throughout our life if we stay humble before God, because the more we're near God, the more we realize we're not like Him. That it's not a demeaning, it's a desire to be like Him. And so I am passionate about one thing. I am passionate about pleasing God. I am passionate about honoring God. I'm passionate about obeying God. I used to be the most disobedient kid you had ever met in your whole entire life. I'm telling you, I do not want to reap in my children what kind of child I was. I always say, God, I am sorry. I am so sorry. I repent for that. I thank you for God's grace, and I'm not. So, you know, but I'm going to tell you, God gave that real strong core push in me. I know now to be able to say, God, it don't matter what anybody else says, I'm not going to turn away from you. I'm not going to not do what you tell me to do. I'm not going to, because of what it looks like to other people, I'm not going to falter. I'm not going to step back. So I can understand that, but I'm going to tell you, there are so many different levels of us learning what God wants us to learn in this world that we live in right now. And especially now, especially in this season right now, because this is an evil season. I was talking to somebody just about this is a season. There are so many that are not for God that you are the minority if you are for God in this country right here. This is a season that it is real important that you allow yourself to be one that hears and sees what God is doing and saying to you personally. I think that it is so important that each one of us get our lives lined up with not to be perfect, not to look perfect, not to act perfect, but number one, that you will line yourself up with what God tells you, you will do it. Because I'm going to tell you, the enemy is prowling, especially in this season, to take out the church, to take out the people who love God, because he knows the power in you greater if you know it, if you don't know it or not. He understands what is inside of you, and he knows that it can destroy him. He's aware of the authority you have on this earth. And so because of that, it is so important that we get church eyes that can see and hear what God is telling us to do personally, individually, in our own lives, so that we do not fall under deception. So one number reason I am passionate about freedom is because I'm going to always challenge myself to grow. I'm going to always challenge myself to find area, to allow God to show me areas that are not like Him. And I'm going to always challenge myself to be transformed, to be humble enough to say, God, I know that this is an area where only you can change. And so that's what Freedom Ministry offers. It doesn't offer a platform, and it doesn't offer a ministry title. It offers you an opportunity to be able to be transformed over and over and over again into the likeness of Christ, where people around you, they feel like they're around Jesus because you are transformed in His image. I told this in the early service, and I do have to tell this because God told me how to start this, that I've been in El Dorado a little bit, and it's just such a wonderful church. It is such good people. It is such an accepting heart. It is such an accepting heart there. You can get there and you can mess up, and they love you, and they don't point. They're just really good at just opening up their arms and loving you there. And so I was preached a couple weeks ago, and I came down. I was talking to a guy that I just adore, and he said. You down here are not the same as you up there. And I said, I know. Isn't that so cool? He said, you can't even make sense in a conversation sometimes down here. He said, but when you get up there, I said, that's how you know it's God. That's how you know it's God. I want you to understand, if you're doing things that you can do in your own capabilities, in your own power, on your own, it's probably not the most that God has for you to do. But if you are having to step out and do things and saying, God, I can only make sense when I'm up on this stage because of you, then you know that you're probably doing things that God has called you to do. Because that's where that grace comes in. That's where grace steps into our life and we come to a realization that we can't do what God has called us to do without His grace. Without His grace. I love that. That's one of my favorite things. I always come back. I've even taken that to God. You know, when I'm up there, it's your name on the line. It's not mine. It's your name that's on the line. It's not, because I am very aware of my capabilities in conversation and in relationships. But I'm going to tell you, God wants to give you the grace to overcome and to have authority over everything He has called you to accomplish in. What that grace does, it comes in and it helps you where you need it. It's what the part of you that's not you, but that's God in you. And you can have a dependency on God in that. You can say, God, Your grace is sufficient for me in my time of need because I can't make sense sometimes. But God, Your grace is sufficient for us. I'm going to talk this morning about a battle that I've walked through in this past year. And I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to tell you, God has given me authority as an overcomer in it. When you stand on this side of a battle, you should come out of that battle not saying, did I win? Have you ever been there? You come out of a battle and you're like, I'm not sure if I win or I lost. Have you ever been there? God, I'm not really sure where in the middle. It's just kind of died down. Have you ever been? I've been in a lot of those battles. I've been in a lot of those battles where the enemy saw that I was catching on to him and he sunk down. And it's like the battle subsided. I'm going to tell you, that's not God's desire. God gave you authority to defeat the enemy before your face. And so what happens is when we come into a battle, a lot of times we take up that battle, not with that spirit, but with people. We'll take up that battle, not with the spirit, but with people. And I'm going to tell you something. God is as much for that person as He is for you. That's a humbling statement to have to stand back and realize, but God is as much for that person overcoming in the spirit, in the right way, with the authority and the power as He is for you. So you have got to make a decision, devil, this is between me and you. You got to make it a very personal battle between the spirit of God in you and the enemy himself. And if you do that, you will see the enemy defeated before your face. You will walk out of that battle with authority saying, this ground right here is holy ground. Because God has given me that authority in righteousness and in the price that Jesus paid. That enemy, you do not have power over me. And He will give you that. If you can keep the battle between you and the enemy. If you make it real personal between you and the enemy. Because as soon as you start making it real personal with you and your best friend, you know what happens? The enemy has done what he wanted to do and he snuck off out the back door. He has used that situation to create bondage in your life and he got off scot-free. That is never the desire of God for letting you walk into a battle. God wants you to walk into that battle and He wants you to gain authority over the enemy. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle the devil. And when you're in a battle, you need to be straight-eyeing that devil and putting the heart and the other people to God. God, that's yours. That's special to you. They're yours. You need to pray for those people that the enemy is using. You need to be able to not center yourself up eye to eye to see that person going down. And that is hard. Especially when the enemy is using that person against you. But I can tell you, the one that can be mature, the one that can see what God is wanting to see in that battle, it's the one God can use to defeat the enemy in that battle. It's the one God can use to defeat the enemy in that battle. So this morning, we're going to talk about oppression. And I know that sounds real exciting. We're going to talk about oppression, but I want to explain something to you. Oppression is just a tactic of the enemy. It is just a way the devil works. Oppression is just a plan that the enemy uses in your life. So if you look at it this way, this might be oppression in my life, but this is personal. This is personal because remember, it is between you and the enemy. So if you can, like David, walk into an oppressive situation. Because I want all of you to realize, when David walked onto that battlefield with Goliath, do you know Goliath had the children of Israel under oppression for 40 days? For 40 days he would come out and he would yell things and say things that were demeaning, that were cruel, that were not true, that were lies on their life. And he caused them to be stationary and not be able to move for 40 days. For 40 days. So when David walked onto that battlefield, David had the option. He could hear what everybody around him was hearing. He could hear the oppressive, the hard, what looked like truth. I'm bigger than you. I know you're bigger than me. I'm meaner than you. I know you're meaner than me. All of that looked like truth. David walked onto that battlefield and he heard the same thing that everybody else on that battlefield heard. But let me tell you the difference between David is. David made it very personal. He didn't make it personal with Goliath. David brought God into that situation. David brought his king into that situation. So Goliath was saying, I'm coming at you. I'm coming at you. David said, that's fine, but devil, I'm coming at you, and my God will defeat my enemies before my face. You have got to, when you step into a battle, when you step into a place that there is oppression, you've got to make it personal with that enemy. You've got to decide, I'm only going to hear what God tells me to hear. Because everybody else heard what Goliath was saying. But do you know what David heard? He heard what God was telling him. He was saying, David, you could take him. Seriously, God? Do you see how big he is? David, you can take him. God will tell you to do things that are so much bigger than you could ever imagine doing. And you can't do it without him. But he called you to do it with him. Amen. He called you to do it with him. So you can walk into oppression. The enemy will put you in a position of oppression. But I want you to understand from the very beginning, God called you there. So whatever job you're on that seems to be so oppressing, God called you there. Whatever relationship you're in, or family you're in, or friendship you're in, that seems to be so oppressing, God called you there. The enemy is going to do what the enemy does. The enemy fought the children of Israel throughout their life with oppression. And wherever they went, he caused them to be oppressed. The enemy is going to do what he's going to do, but God called you where your feet are.
Right.
He called you there to not stay in oppression. He called you to be the one, to be the David, that he could say, you can take him. Do you see how many there are here that are against me? You can take him. Do you see how what they're saying seems to be so true? You can take him. You can take him because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You can take him because God put you there to give you authority to declare that this place is holy ground. God wants wherever your feet to tread to be a place that he can filter through the anointing, the power, the fruits of the Spirit, the love of God, not for you to be stationary and unable to move from where he's put you. Because God wants to put you there, and then he wants to move you here, and then God wants to move you here. His intention was not to be like the children of Israel and to put you somewhere for 40 days, because what happens is oppression births depression. Oppression births in your life inabilities to be able to move. It keeps you stationary. I'm going to give you the definition of oppression. It says, oppression is unjust or cruel exercise of authority or power. I'm going to say it one more time because I want you to hear it. Oppression is unjust or cruel exercise of power or authority. The devil has no authority over you. He has no power over your job, over your marriage, over your relationships, over your kids. He has no power there. He's got no authority there. The only authority that he has is what we give him.
Amen.
So let me give you a picture of what oppression looks like. Okay? Oppression is the hand of the enemy wherever God has placed you. See, because God had called the children of Israel to where they were. And his hand, his giant big Goliath hand, is on top of you, keeping you from even lifting your head up or moving. It's got you so pinned down through fear, through insecurities, through lies. If I step out here, I'm going to fail. If I step out here, that Goliath's going to kill me. If I step out here, it's got you so stationary that it is impossible for you to stand up, overcome, and move out into what God has for you. And the devil knows that's what oppression does to the children of God. And that's why the devil brings oppression and has, since the very beginning in Genesis, tried to oppress God's people. But let me tell you something. God has a very different plan for oppression in our life. God wants oppression because, see, oppression is to press you down so hard, but you get the choice. You get to choose what it presses you to. It's going to come, and it's going to feel heavy, and it's going to feel all around consuming you. That's what the enemy wants it to do. But you have the ability to cause that pressing to press you in to God. You have the ability to cause that pressing in to press you so deep and so intimate into what God has for you, into what God is saying to you, into what God wants to do in that situation, that what comes out of that oppressive is a miraculous word from God for that moment. God uses our oppression in our lives every day. How many of you have ever needed to buy groceries and you didn't have the money? How many of you ever need to pay your light bill? How many of you have ever had a basic need and if you didn't have it, and you didn't have it, and God was going to have to miraculously provide for you? How many of you did that cause you to press into God? How many of you were on your knees crying out, praying? That is a small form of what God wants to allow oppression to do in your life. God wants you to learn that everywhere he puts you, the enemy is going to oppress you, but you can take nuggets from heaven in that oppression from God speaking to you what is his truth in that moment, and it can cause not just you, but everybody around you to be affected by the faith that God plants inside of you in that moment. Amen. That's God's plan for oppression in our life. To dig us so deep into him and to place inside of us such truths in our hearts that we don't waver like David. We walk into a battle. Okay, this is oppression. I get it. I see it. You know how I see it? Because I know what oppression feels like. It's debilitating. It feels like we can't move. And you begin to see with eyes of God. I want to say that again. This is a generation. This is a season. You're going to have to be able to see with eyes of God that says, okay, God, I understand you want to do something big here because there is major oppression in this place. So use me. Use me. Let this push me so close to you that you can use me. I'm going to tell you, God, what if you saw? God, what if you saw in that battle? If Saul would have stood up and said, Goliath, this was between you and my God. But Saul would not. So God had to use a 19-year-old boy. God had to use a boy. But let me tell you, that was not just any boy. That was a boy that had faced oppression for so much of his life that when he stepped on that battlefield, he stood and said, okay, I know what this is. This is oppression. And instead of slinking back and sitting down like everyone else did, David had learned how to be pressed into God. How many of you get up every day and you read Psalms? How many of you benefit from the miraculous truths that God planted inside of David from being pressed on all sides? Let me tell you, that's called heaven on earth. That's called heaven on earth. What God wants to allow that to do inside of you is to press you into a place where you're pulling down heaven on earth in every situation that the enemy attacks you with oppression. So let me tell you, oppression might seem like a bad thing, but it's your perspective. God wants you to see oppression the way He sees it. He sees it as a battleground, and His plans are for you to walk out victorious. His plans are for you to walk out fully armored, prepared for what comes next. Oppression in my life was rejection. It's from birth all the way up my life. Rejection, the spirit of rejection, has trailed me throughout my life. I believe there's a lot of you in here that has happened to you too. Why? Because the devil does not just like me more than you. He loves you probably as much as he loves me. Not at all. So I know that a lot of you have fought rejection most of your life. But I'm going to tell you something else. Everybody in here has fought rejection to some degree. Every person has fought rejection to some degree. Rejection is a lie of the enemy. Now, this is my own personal definition. This is what God gave me. Rejection is a denying or a defying of your worth. It's when the enemy comes into your life through his own words into your mind, or through the words of people around you, or situations or circumstances, and he says, you have no worth. You have no value. You aren't worth being my friend. You aren't worth being my daughter. You are not worth being my worker. You're not worth being my child. There is an entire lie that he brings to you with many different faces. But the core lie there is you have no worth and you have no value to that person or to that situation or to that environment or to that job or to that place. I'm going to tell you, that goes against the very plan of God in creating you. In the very beginning, God created Adam and Eve, and everybody else was created in that same form. And when God created you, He said, you are good. What He said was, you are good. You have value. You have worth. It is so important that I made you that any time that something comes to you and defies or denies that, your body starts to say, hey, that's not okay. Because the truth of the matter is, it's not okay. It is not okay, church, for us to deny or reject anybody's worth, no matter what society tells us. Rejection is a tactic of the enemy. It is a lie. Let me tell you, your body receives rejection as pain. I'll get into that more tonight. There's a reason it does, because when it does, it needs to tell you, this cannot settle here. This cannot settle here. Rejection, a denying or a defying of your worth, if it settles in here, it keeps you from being able to know where you need to know it most. I have value and I have worth. I have value and I have worth. So when you are being oppressed by the enemy, and God is saying, stand up, oh, this weight is so heavy, stand up, oh, this weight. You can dig down into that spirit, and you can say, I have value. I have worth. There's a reason I'm right here. And you can begin to, no matter how hard it is, stand up in that place God has put you and say, God placed me here. And that's the one the enemy uses, rejection, because he wants to come and he wants to plant inside of your spirit such lies of devalue and deworth, of unworth, that no matter where you are, you never feel like that's where God's called you to be. And that matters. I'm going to tell you, and that matters. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says, so a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you think thoughts, lies of rejection, of no worth and no value in your heart, do you know what you will be? And that's why it matters. Because God didn't make you for no reason. He made you for a very important reason. God made you specifically to be able to conquer things that only you can conquer. And just like Saul was on that battlefield, and God's plan for Saul on that battlefield was to conquer that giant, Saul would not. You know why? Saul felt rejected. And he let it penetrate his heart, and it kept him from being able to do what God had called him to do. So God had to bring in a 19-year-old boy who had such a spiritual knowledge of what God thought of him and what God knew of him and what he was called to do. It didn't matter that he was tiny and he was big. God could do anything through anybody if you believe God can do it. God can do whatever His plans are in your life. And let me tell you something. God's plans are good. God's plans are good. So each and every one of us are going to fight rejection. You know why? Because Jesus fought rejection. The Bible says that Jesus was the most rejected man on earth. And so, and God showed me this last year, and you just need to understand this because it shows how backwards we have thought for so long. Jesus was the most rejected man on earth. Okay? The most rejected man on earth. How many of you have ever been in a situation and you were being rejected? Somebody was talking to you unkind or rude or hateful, and you went and talked to somebody and they said, "Oh, that's just your spirit of rejection." Has that ever happened to you? Honestly. Jesus was the most rejected man on earth. And he never allowed that spirit of rejection in his heart. So, church, what I want to do is I want to learn how to appropriate that spirit of rejection in the right place. If that enemy is coming at you to oppress you, to hurt you, to keep you here, that's the spirit coming after you. That's the spirit coming after you. Now, if in that moment you let the lies come in, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. It's going to cause soul wounds. It's going to cause you to have insecurities. It's going to cause you to be it's going to cause you to not be able to do things that God has called you to do. But if you decide in your heart to get hard and to turn back around and say, "I'm going to reject you," you've just allowed yourself to become a rejecter. You've just allowed that same spirit to come out of someone's mouth and come through you and come out of yours. That's the way the spirit of rejection will come into your life. If not, what the spirit of rejection wants to do, it wants to come in and oppress you and bind you and hurt you and create such wounds inside of you that it is impossible for you to accomplish all that God wants you to do. So let me tell you something. You need to take that spirit of rejection very personal. Instead of what it loves to do is, it loves to come at you, and then it loves to make you assume it's your fault. It loves to come at you and to make you, and it's even seeped into the church quite a bit, to where we have seen people being hurt, being manipulated, words used to crush their spirit. And we have said, "Oh, well, you're suffering from a spirit of rejection." No, they're being attacked by a spirit of rejection. They're being attacked by a spirit of rejection. So someone that is strong, someone that can see what God sees, needs to be able to come into place and to say, "Spirit of rejection, go." And that person needs to be healed. And that person needs to be healed. We have let the spirit of rejection off the hook so many times because we were not quite aware of what his workings were. But I'm going to tell you, last year, the enemy came at me with rejection in every form possible. I was sitting in a Walmart parking lot one day, and I was literally saying, "Not one more! Not one more, God! I can't take one more! I cannot." You know what? When you tell God you can't take more, one more, you know what he's going to do, right? 10 more! 10 more! Because oppression should strengthen you in God's thoughts and plans for you. And until you understand that, what you're going to do is you're going to fight between each other, or you're going to assume that you are at fault. One thing that the enemy loves to do is to get in and to divide people and hide. Don't let him off. Don't let him off. When you can tell that what's coming at you is denying or defying your worth, stand up in the spirit and say, "No. I want you to learn to put up your spiritual hands, church. And I want you to learn to stand against the lies of the enemy that say anything except what God says about you. Amen. Because God's thoughts are the only thing that can be in your heart that can allow you to be and do what God has called you to do. So when the spirit of rejection comes, no matter which avenue it comes through, and it comes and it tells you things that do not line up with the Word of God and what He says about you, throw up those spiritual hands and learn to say, no, 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 you will not come in here. Because if it comes in here, it creates a wound and it will not give you what you need to be able to do all that God has called you to do. I'm going to explain that to you in the Word. If everybody will, turn with me to Matthew 25. And in that story, we have the parable of talents. How many of you know the parable? And we love that story and talking about planting seeds and multiplication. That's a great story. But I'm going to tell you, this story shows you the ability of oppression and lies, how it keeps you from being able to move out and do what God has called you to do. Do you remember there was a man that had 5 talents? And he multiplied his talents. And because he multiplied his talents, God called and said, hey, you're faithful. You trusted me. I can trust you. There was a man who had 2 talents. And God came to him and said, oh, you're faithful. And he multiplied them. And he said, you're faithful. I can trust you. You can trust me. And he had favor with God. But then there was a man that had 1 talent. I want you to know, there's a reason that man had 1 talent. What that explains, what that should tell us is that man had not been able to learn to trust God at that point. God is not favorite. He does not show favoritism. God does not give, you know, God will give us what we need. But there is a reason that man had 1 talent. And we found out when we begin to read, it says, then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. What you believe about yourself in here is important. It's good. You need it. But let me tell you, what you believe about God will cause you to always overcome. When David stepped on that battlefield, he knew that he had fought a lion, he had fought a bear, he was pretty tough. But that was a big giant. It was not what he had done or what he knew about himself that caused him to be able to go face Goliath. It was what he knew about God. It was what he knew about God. See, the parable of the talents is showing us that if you believe lies about God, it will cause you to not be able to step out and do and multiply and overcome. It will cause you to stay in oppression, to stay stationary. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to say, oh, this is where you stay. Go plant that talent in the ground. God will not be faithful to you. If you step out and try here, God will fail you. The number one lies that we believe that keep us from stepping out are not lies about ourselves. Those just make us live miserable. Those just make us live defeated. The lies that we believe about God are what keep us from overcoming. They're what keep us from moving into authority. They're what keep us from understanding the power that we have in Christ. So in this parable, what we find out is that he believed lies. He believed that his master was a hard man, reaping where he had not sown. He was a thief. Let me tell you, God is not a thief. God is not a hard man. God put you in that place. And he put you there not to make your life miserable. Not to make you feel defeated and destroyed. If you believe that, you are being the man with 1 talent. God put you there so that you can multiply on the earth. God put you there so that you can stand strong and you can say, God, I'm going to have faith and I'm going to see you move, and my faith is going to multiply into this person's faith and this person's faith and this person's faith. God wants to multiply you by honor and authority where you're at. But you will never make it if you allow the lies of the enemy into your life. So that is a really good wake-up call. Anywhere that you feel oppressed, pressed down, I can't move, God. How many of you have been praying, God, move me. Move me. I can't move. I can't. God is saying this morning, rise up. God is saying this morning, I've called you to more than this. God is implanting in your spirit this morning, you're His David. You're His David. He could have called anybody else in all the world, but there's a reason God called you. Because He knew what it would take to defeat that area. He knew what it would take to bring anointing to that area. He knew what He wanted to do in that area. And He specifically chose you. You are anointed. If you allow the oppression to press you in to God. In Matthew 15, there's a small story. It's a short story. But it shows you how oppression through rejection can cause you to grab a hold of something that is so supernatural that only God could do. And let me tell you something. What God wants to do in your life of oppression, only God can do it. You can't do it on your own. So if you think I can read the Bible, I can find a scripture, I can stand, I'm going to tell you, that's good. But only God can speak to you in that moment and give you what He wants to give you as the answer to that situation. You can't be a lazy Christian and be an overcomer. You can't be a defeated Christian and be an overcomer. You have got to allow every situation to dig you deeper. I love Psalms because Psalms is filled with those digging claws in places where David had to deny what he saw and say, God, I'm believing you. God, I'm believing you. And that is the truth for every person in this church. That is the truth for every person on this earth, that you're going to have to learn to defy what you see. And see and hear what God is telling you to see and hear.
All right.
In Matthew 15, now this is the story of a small Canaanite woman. It is not a fancy story. And if you read through this story, and you have a spirit of rejection, if you fought rejection, if rejection has placed lies inside of your heart, for years I read that story and I was like, God, you're so mean. It comes across as the unkindness of God. I'm just going to be honest with you. But what I want you to see is, God was doing her so good. And when you're in a season of oppression, everybody around you might say, oh my gosh, that seems so horrible. Oh my gosh, that seems so rough. But let me tell you something. God is doing you a favor. God is doing you a miracle. Last year, through most of the year, I would sit there and I would say, oh my gosh, God. But let me tell you, at some point, I called on. And at some point, I started saying, all right, God, it is for you that this I'm here. It is for you that this battle has taken on this form. It is for your glory. Do you remember when David defeated Goliath? He said it was for God's glory. It was for God's glory. What God wants to use you for in your life, it's not for your glory. It's not even for your fame. It's for His glory. It's for His glory to be manifested in your life. All right, so here we come. We see this lady, and she's a Canaanite woman. And everybody say, Canaanites were not Jews. They weren't. They were born by birth, not favored of God. They were born as the non-selected group of people. So from birth, this lady heard every day, you're not God's. You're not God's. You're not God's favorite. You're not God's special chosen generation. You're not the ones that God wants to love and redeem and draw back and all of these things. That's not you. And the Jews have fought pride. So they, I'm sure, had no problem saying, it's not you. It's not you. But I'm going to tell you, and to a lot of us, that's like no big deal. But I'm going to tell you, to us who have fought rejection, you know what that feels like? It's not you. It's not you. It's you. It's not you. It's not you. It's you. And let me tell you, it hurts. When you are harassed by that spirit of rejection throughout your life, you become accustomed to it not being you. You become accustomed to lies in here and expecting to not be the one that God would use, that the favor of God is on. But I'm going to tell you, that's a lie. That's a lie. How many of you know that Jesus came to draw all men to him. Jesus came to take something that was not perfect and to make it perfect. And so we see David a lot of times grab a hold to that New Testament covenant. You see him all the time grabbing, and you're like, how did he? Because he was pressed. And because he was pressed, he was able to grab things that were not for then, but in David's life, they became for then because he used that situation to press him. So this is where we see this Canaanite woman. It says, behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demonized. So not only was she not the chosen generation, she had a demonized daughter. That cannot be easy. I love my kids, and I might say some things sometimes, but I'm going to tell you that to have a child that is demon-possessed, which is what the Bible says here, was a shame. How many parties do you think she got invited to? How many family gatherings? I'm sure they would say, no, you can come, but not your daughter. You know how she does. You know how she operates. You know how she acts. In that culture, to be barren, meant you did not have the favor of God. But do you know that being demon-possessed, what that meant? And that had to mean that God hated you. That had to mean something so horrific is what was probably told to her day after day after day. How could God give you that? God must not think anything of you. So this entire lady's life seemed to be filled with lies of rejection. But then what happened is she started seeing the rejection she had battled her life become her daughter's life. And I'm going to tell you, you might cry out to God if it's you, but when you see what's oppressing you coming after your children, it's going to do something inside of you that makes you oppress. If you see what's always fought you and you have struggled with, start having an authority and start exercising power over your children, I'm going to tell you, that's going to make you cry out to God in such a way that you might not have done it for yourself, but you're going to do it for your kids. So here's where we see this lady. Her life was full of rejection, but my gosh, now that spirit has come against her daughter. So Jesus comes. And so she decided, I'm going to have to. I know I'm not your chosen, but I'm going to have to. I know I'm not your favored, but I'm going to have to. Because my daughter is being oppressed by the enemy. But let me tell you what happened. It says, but Jesus answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. I love the disciples because I feel like a lot of times I'm like the disciples. It takes me getting involved in something way into it before I even get a clue of what God's trying to do. Are you anybody else like that? So I will get caught up in the mess of it, and then God comes in and he just helps me. And that happens to me almost every place in my life. But see, Jesus had just had a conversation like this with the disciples. The Pharisees were telling Jesus, hey, your disciples do not wash their hands before they eat. That's not just not gross, but that's also against a commandment. That's also not, and you know what? Jesus had the very truthful word for them. He said, these people, they draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So Jesus started telling the disciples, there's things spiritually going on here. We're coming up a whole level. We're not going to stay in this area of the physical. We're going to move into an area of the spiritual. So then he pulled his disciples to him and he said, hear and understand. He was trying to get them to understand and to see things that were not what everybody else could see. They were only for the people who would hear and see in the spirit. When the enemy is oppressing you, what you see and what you hear is crucial to you overcoming. If you only see and hear what other people see and hear, you're going to be overcome every time. But if when you are being oppressed, you allow that to open up a desperate need for spiritual ears and spiritual eyes, you're going to begin to see something that only God sees. And you're going to see situations completely different. So here he is with these disciples, and he has begun saying, he's just walked through this with him, and then he walks into this with this Canaanite woman. So his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, to every person there, they were saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for sending her away. Thank you for not letting her bother us anymore. Thank you for not allowing her, because she's not one of us. Thank you for keeping her in her place." But I'm going to tell you, that's not what that Canaanite woman heard. Because it says, when he said this, she came and she worshipped him. And she worshipped him as Lord. What that Canaanite woman heard was that God was saying, "You're my lost sheep." Because we know Jesus came for that, right? We know that Jesus came to draw all men unto him. And when Jesus came and was saying, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," she heard, "Okay, I'm a lost sheep. I'm a lost sheep. I can be a lost sheep. I can be a lost sheep. I'm going to call you Lord." And she began to worship him. I'm going to tell you, when you are being oppressed, when rejection or intimidation is staring you down in the face, if you will allow that to cause you to surrender and worship God, who is bigger than you, who is more than you, who is greater than you, who has more power than you, who can see what you cannot see, he will cause that to open up an avenue between heaven and you on earth. God uses oppression in our life to create access into places in our hearts we've never let him be in. So then we see this continues on. It says she worshipped him. And he answered her and said, "Is it not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs?" All right, that's the scripture right there that I have bought about a rejection my whole life. And I was like, "God, you should not have said that." How many of you ever read that scripture and you are like, "God, why? Of all the things to say." That's because we don't see with the eyes of the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I have been in more situations this year where what was said to me and what was the situation I was in seemed so humiliating. It seemed so rejectful. It seemed such a defiance of what I knew God was telling me in my heart that to everybody else it seemed a certain way. But let me tell you how she saw it. She answered and said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from," now get ready to highlight this or circle this or mark this, "their master's table." In that encounter right there, she became not one of the ones that were not chosen. She became part of his family. She said, "I am yours, and you are my master." I'm going to tell you, up until that time, that hadn't been done. Up until that time, that wasn't okay. Up until that time, that was not on earth. But this little lady took what the Spirit was saying to her and said, "All right, I'm yours." And she declared out of her mouth the possession of her life and her daughter's life and everybody that was born to her race as his. She stepped into a covenant with God that had yet been unfolded on earth. And I'm going to tell you what oppression will do. Oppression will allow us to know God in ways we have never known him before. Oppression will allow us to see the goodness of God in areas that we have never known it before. So let me tell you, if you are being oppressed, God wants to open up heaven on earth for you. If you are being rejected, if you are being called a dog, God wants to call you son. God wants to call you daughter. God wants to speak things in here that will give you such a sure foundation that no matter how hard you're being pressed, you can say, "But I'm yours. But I'm yours. But I'm yours." I might look like a dog to every person in the street. I might look like a dog to every person that I meet, but I'm your dog. I'm yours. I'm going to tell you, what you know about you is important. But what you know about God, will give you the ability to take that one talent and to say, okay, all right, God, we can do something with this. Why? Not because of me. Because of you. God wants to multiply things in your life. I'm not just talking about money. Man, God wants you to have authority on the earth. God wants you to be the mighty church of God. God wants you to take dominion over spirits, principalities, and powers. And let me tell you, God wants to use you. 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 God wants to use you where you're at and what you're in. He wants to use you. Now, let me tell you what this lady was able to receive from that. Jesus answered her and said, O woman of great faith. Let me tell you, somebody tells you you've got great faith, that's good. But when Jesus tells you you have great faith, what that means is you have great faith. What that means is what everybody else around you didn't see, you saw. What everybody else around you couldn't do, you could do. And now everybody that comes behind you, like that little Canaanite woman, can say, you did it for her. God, you did it for her. I know she wasn't your chosen people. I know that she was not a part of your covenant, but you did it for her. You can do it for me. You become a testimony of great faith. Let me tell you, Abraham started out as a man just like that. And he said, you know what? I'm just going to believe. And it was accounted to him as faith, as righteousness. Let me tell you something. Whatever God has placed you in, it was not to destroy you. It was not to belittle you. It was not to hinder you. It was to cause you to have great faith. To have great faith. That what God is telling you in that moment, that He will do. There are so many areas in my life that I had to grab a hold of what I knew God said, regardless of what anybody else said. Why? Because God has called each and every one of us to do great things. God has great things in store for our life. So why does the enemy use oppression? Because he's learned it works. And he learns it keeps us from being able to move. So church, I want you to stand up with me for a minute. And I want you to get your hands together. Because I think as a church and as a person and as a child of God, we've got to learn something this year. We've got to learn to tell the devil no. No. But it looks like everybody around me sees what they're saying. No. It looks like if I try to stand up and say what God is telling me to say, that it's going to be cast down, it's going to be embarrassing, it's going to be humiliating, you're not going to... No. You have got to learn this year, when that spirit of oppression, through intimidation, through fear, through rejection, tries to come at you in any avenue, put your hands up. Everybody, get your hands up. That's good. That's how we praise God. But I want you to do your hands like this. And I want you to learn to tell the enemy something. I want you to learn to tell him, no. No. You are guarding your heart. I'm going to tell you, I spent 3 days, night and day, battling one word of rejection over my life. And I'm going to tell you, I would wake up in the middle of the night with my hands crossed like this saying, no, you will not come in. No, you will not come in. Because I'm going to tell you, if it would have came in, I would never have been up here.
All right.
I knew that. I knew, I cannot believe I'm crying. I knew that I was battling for something that was destiny. I knew I was battling something my kids were not going to fight. I knew that those lies were going to be able to penetrate my heart. And it was going to cause me to be stationary in that place in my life. And for 3 days, I would tell the devil, no, that's not what God says about me. No, that's not who I am. That's what it looks like you are. That's what people are saying you are. That's what people want you to be. No. You will not be my lot. You will not be what's in my heart, because if it's in your heart, that's what you got. What's in your heart is what you have. So if you, as a body of Christ, as a child of God, cannot tell the devil no, he's going to penetrate your heart all this year. So church, I'm going to tell you, learn when the enemy comes and defies and denies your worth, your power, your authority, who God has told you you are. You put your hands up in the spirit for as long as it takes, and you tell him no. And he'll back your no. He'll back your no. For 3 days, I fought that lie. And I'm going to tell you, I was on my knees. And I said, God, I will fight this as long as I have to, because this will not come in me. And on that third day, I stood up and that spirit left. And that spirit left. And I'm going to tell you, every time that spirit has tried to come at me, I see him. Woo, I see him. I see him a mile off when he tries to come at me, because God has opened up our spiritual eyes. When God opens up your spiritual eyes, you can fight. You can take it personal with the devil. See, when David stepped on that battle, he could hear and see because he had fought that spirit before. And he was not going to allow that spirit of oppression to bound him anymore. He was going on to do other things. I want it settled in your heart. God, I'm going to go on and do other things this year. I've got great things that you want to do in me this year. So the enemy is going to hear out of my mouth every day of his life, no, you will not penetrate my heart. Trying to make sure I've said everything I know God wants me to say. This is three sermons in one. I've preached. All right. If everybody will bow your heads, we've got to make a commitment to God this morning. Father, right now, Lord, we come to you. And Lord, this is not something that is for some of us, that's for a few of us. God, this is for every person that's called yours. Father, I thank you that you offer us authority. That you offer us, Father God, power. That you offer us a sonsmanship. You offer us covenant. But if we want to live in oppression, you will let us. If we want to live hindered and bowed down to the enemy, you'll let us. So, Father, right now, Lord, I believe that as an agreement in every person's heart. And I want you to just make a decision. I'm going to agree. I want you to just make a decision in your heart. No more oppression for me. Father, I thank you that you give each person in here eyes that see, ears that hear what the Spirit is saying to them when the enemy tries, because you know he will, to bring oppression into our lives. Father, I pray that where the enemy has already placed us in an attack under oppression, that you will give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. So regardless if it looks like a dog to everybody else, it looks like a son to us. And I praise you, Father, that as you begin to show us and speak to us, that we let it penetrate our heart. We let it build a sure foundation in our spirits. That any Goliath that you want to place us involved with, that we know it's not us that defeats it, it's you in us that gives us the power to overcome the enemy at any gate. Father, I thank you for strength right now. I thank you for a surrender to your heart and your ways. And Father, we bind the spirits of fear and oppression in the mighty name of Jesus from having a fruitful work in everyone's lives here today. Father, I thank you that it's your kingdom. It's your authority. And you back in us what you speak to us in every battle. Father, I thank you that the seeds that were planted, that they'll grow. I thank you that you build on top of this faith that you've placed in hearts today. Father, I thank you that we're a generation that's going to be an overcomer. That we are not going to be okay being oppressed. But we're going to be triumphant over the enemy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.